anything else doesn't satisfy. Come on, let's sing it to him. Let's sing it to him.
I want you to sing it like you've got.
Come on, lift your hands. Worship. Worship right here.
Jesus, you are my joy within.
You are
the shelter from the wind. You're the forgiver of my sin.
I had a lot of sin.
Jesus, you are, yes.
Where can I go?
Where can I go? Who
can
I call? Who's there to catch me when
I fall?
But I'm so glad.
Your hands, they hold me through it all.
It all.
Jesus, everything.
Everything I need, you are.
Come on, and bless
me. Oh.
Guess what?
You are my healer.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, God, thank you.
You are
my shelter.
Because of that,
come
I got
on,
myself.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
When I find myself in trouble.
Come on.
You are my lawyer.
Anybody else need a lawyer?
Thank you, Jesus.
When my money ran out, you know what you were, Jesus.
You're my provider.
I'm praise in my spirit right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Everybody can
come on, say it.
Thank you, Jesus.
You can find one.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord this
thank
morning.
Thank you, Father.
Let's
hear it. Amen. Amen.
Thankful. So thankful to you.
Yeah,
this morning, you should have, hopefully most of you have a sheet with our scriptures on it from this morning. From the, we gave you the sheet because it comes from a version of the scripture called The Message. And it's the kind of, I wanted to make it kind of easier for you to read. And I was looking at that and it's pretty close to the regular passage. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to read it out of the New King James first, but we'll be using the Message sheet most of the day. First Peter passage is in First Peter matter of fact, we're just going to go ahead and read it off of there. You got the message? We're going to read it off of there, then I'm just going to refer you. So those that are in on the podcast, amen, those that are on the podcast can hear us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 21. If you're on the podcast, we're reading from a message, so it's going to read a little bit different. More contemporary language. We'll go back and some when it's needed, we'll give you the New King James Version of the passage. It began, verse 13, 1 Peter chapter 1. So roll up your sleeves, put your mind in gear. Be totally ready to receive the gift that's coming when Jesus arrives. Don't lazily slip back into those old grooves of evil. Doing just what you feel like doing. You didn't know any better than you do now. As obedient children, let your sin be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life. A life energetic and blazing with holiness. God said, I am holy, you be holy. You called out to God for help and he helped. He's a good father that way. But don't forget, he's also a responsible father and won't let you get by with sloppy living. Your life is a journey you must travel with the deep consciousness of God. It costs God plenty to get you out of that dead end, empty
the hated life you grew up in. He paid with Christ's sacred blood, you know. He died like an unblemished sacrificial lamb. And this was no afterthought. Even though it was only lately, at the end of the ages, became public knowledge. God also knew he was going to do this for you. It's because of the sacrificed Messiah, whom God then raised from the dead and glorified, that you trust God, that you know you have a future in God. Amen.
Amen.
Bless the Lord this morning. What a worthy God we serve. He's worthy to be praised and adored. We want to talk about today, holy kids. Holy kids.
All right.
Hear me? Holy heed. All right. I think this will work. Holy heed. I hope there's not too much wind noise. Let me put this windshield back on it. I know I'm going to lose something out here. It's kind of windy today for those of you in podcast. We're going to make it work somehow. Holy heed. Now, if you saw it, if you saw the message name on the website or online, it said holy he is with an exclamation point.
Right.
Because you ought to be excited about holy. Now I know, Pat, how are we gonna get excited about holy? A lot of times people don't get excited about holiness because they got the wrong idea about holiness.
Right, right.
Amen. Because most time we think about holiness, I think in many of our neighborhoods where we grew up, and especially in African American communities, there was a church that we called the Holiness Church.
Right.
And the Holiness Church sometimes to live out their faith, they didn't wear makeup. They didn't wear pants, and they didn't wear jewelry sometimes, and they had real long dresses on. And we looked at that, and the rules that they had, we're not putting them down, but we were just saying, when we saw that, it seemed kind of legalistic to us at some point. And so when we often think about God's holiness, we think about the stuff you can't do. That's why we don't get excited about holiness. But listen here. You ought to be excited about holiness. And hopefully after today, when you have a better understanding of holiness in a more insightful understanding of holiness and a deeper understanding of holiness, you can get it. It's something you can get excited about. Now, if you have your Bible, 1 Peter chapter 1. Because I want you to look at something right quick that's not in our immediate text. Chapter 1, look up at the beginning verses. All right. If I have to pause every once in a while because I got different papers and Bibles and a lot of wind blowing, and I have to get a hold of everything. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at the verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. Notice that first word, we can't go deeper into that word, but it's the word elect. And I know if y'all ought to know what elect means today. Amen. Right after we had an election. You elect means you choose.
Right.
Somebody chose you.
Right.
You've been chosen. So Peter, in the letter that he's writing, says, those of us that the letter is written, and he's addressing those of us that have been chosen by God and saved through the blood of Jesus. And he says to those of us who've been chosen by God and saved by Jesus' blood, he says, as I am holy, be ye holy. What does this word holy mean?
All right.
First of all, before I look at holy, he is, we're talking about us. I want to talk about his holy. God's holy. God's holy is a little bit different than our holy. Or not a little bit, is a whole lot different than our holy. When we talk about God being holy, holy means to be set apart.
Right.
Other.
Right.
You're talking about God's otherness. God is not like us. God is only like God. Whatever chart you can think about. One of the best ways. God is unique like nobody else is unique. Notice the Bible says in Isaiah 6. When the seraphim are describing God, they say he's holy, holy, holy.
Right.
And that's again repeated in the book of Revelation. He's holy, holy, holy. Anyway, that holy is presented three times. Now, that's different because we talk about God being love, but there's no love, love, love. Or God being just, but there's no just. The only time you see that thing repeated three times when you talk about God's holiness, because when you talk about holiness, you're talking about the godness of God. God is so unique, so other, so far above us. Let me read. This is a passage that most of you have heard before, but I just want to repeat it here. We repeat it again for you this morning. Isaiah 55, and let me get that verse for you there. 8 and 9 says this: for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as far as the heavens are above, are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher in your thoughts.
Right, right.
I think a lot of times where we get frustrated in life and upset about things, and sometimes we kind of look at God out of the corner of our eyes, unfortunately, it's because we think God is like us.
My, my, my.
God don't think like you think.
Right, right. I'm glad he does.
I wonder why God didn't do it the way I wanted him to do it. I wonder why God didn't do it as quick as I wanted to do it.
Right.
I wonder why God didn't do it in the time that I wanted him to do it, the way I wanted to do it. I wonder why God's schedule is not like my schedule.
Yes, sir.
Why he didn't fix it like I didn't fix it? Why I had to go through what I had to go through,
yes, sir,
when he could have just did it instantly.
Amen.
My Lord.
Because his ways and our ways, his thoughts and our thoughts are different.
Right.
You will know where we're compared to God. God just told. See, God is off the charts in everything.
Yes.
When you think about love, God's love is holy love. That means it's a love off the charts.
Right.
It's a perfect love. We can't even come close to God's love. God is omnipotent. His power is off the charts.
Right, right.
He created the whole universe. He spoke to nothing and something came out of him. Can any of us do that? God's power is off the charts. God's wisdom is off the charts. We say, we think we wise, and then when God says, You know, God didn't conform to my wisdom. I thought I knew what I was talking about. I thought I knew what I was doing. But it didn't work out. You made a plan. But you know, and God laughed. He said, you made a plan? God didn't laugh at our plan. Because he always has a better plan than we have. He, I'm trying to show you, in every aspect, his love is amazing, infinite love. His power, he has all power. There's nothing he can't do. He knows everything. He has all wisdom. He can forgive like nobody else can forgive. He can bless like nobody else would bless. He has perfect timing. God is just other. You can't compare him with nothing. He's so other. The word holy, kabosh, means to set apart or to cut out of. And God has set apart because we can't, nobody can come close to him.
Yes,
sir. Nobody can come close to God. That's why he's so awesome and amazing. Sometimes you just need to sit down and contemplate the goodness of our God.
Yes.
And see how great he is. That's one thing about when you study the word of God. When you study the word of God, you get to see how great our God is. The things he's doing in the things he's doing in the Bible sort of kind of go with the sermon we talked about last week. When you see all that God has done in the Bible, you got to remember, he's just getting started.
Yes, sir.
Right,
yes, sir. Oh, you wait till we get to heaven.
Uh-huh.
If you thought he'd done some stuff in the Bible, if you thought of great down here, oh, man, it's going to be income. You can't compare what's going to happen up there.
Yeah.
If you thought, sometimes we look around at nature and see the beauty of nature. But, oh, my goodness, when we get to heaven, when we see Jesus,
yeah.
The colors we're going to be able to experience, the beauty we're going to be able to experience in life, it's going to blow out. It's going to make this look like nothing.
Yeah,
it's going to look like, you probably say, hey, you know, right now we kind of, you know how it is. And it's just being human. And we want to stay here long as God can use us. But once you see what heaven is, you say, God, I wish you'd came for me a long time ago. I don't know, I'm missing all this. Because you don't fell in love with this stuff down here. This shadow. This stuff out here ain't real. You think this stuff down here is great and joyful. Oh, no. This can't even be compared.
Yeah.
What we going to? I mean, God, the Bible said all the sufferings of our time is just going to be swallowed up into the glory that we're going to have after a while.
Yeah.
Glory, unimaginable. You can't even, Paul said, I can't even write about it. I got a glimpse of it, but I can't write about it. That's what I'm going to try and show how great. Holy to me, God is unlike anybody. Don't try to figure God out. And when you question him, think about that. You're questioning God. You, the one that can't even remember what you done last week.
Come on, Al. Come on, Al.
The one that misspelled words.
Yes, sir.
Oh, wow. You, trying to question God. How can we ever figure that we know enough to question the Almighty? God is holy. The angel looked at the man. His glory filled the temple. It filled the whole earth. How great is our God. It'll take all of eternity just for us to get closer to him. How great our God is. What a mighty. I mean, we got something to look forward to, y'all.
Amen.
And we got all that not because of anything. And one other day, we can get all that because of what Jesus done on the cross.
Yes, sir.
Because you know, if it would have been us, we said, the only way you can get, all these blessings, you have to work for it.
Yes.
You know what he said that? Uh-uh. No tithe, no blessing. You don't pay no tithe. If you lied two or three times, no blessing this week for you. You know what I'm saying? But God been gracious to us, and we got these amazing blessings come because of what Jesus done for us. We don't have to stand on our own self. Now, I'm going to say something about that in a minute. It's going to bring us back in line. But I just want to, I really want to talk about the holiness of God, but it's so much.
Yeah.
It's kind of when you want to say something, but there's no words. Uh-huh. Only thing you can say the same thing that the angel said, holy, holy, holy.
Yeah.
The earth is full of its glory. You just bow down and worship. But now, let's get to man. That's his holy. But what about holy his? I put holy his because in the simplest way to explain what it means to be holy. To be holy is to be his.
Yes, sir.
Y'all got that? It's pretty simple. You can hold on to that. To be holy is to be his.
Okay.
That's why I say holy his.
Okay.
If you to be holy is to be
his.
His.
All right.
But now that's an implication to that.
Right.
If you're holy, you are his. And someone say, "Oh, yeah, Pat, I'm his."
Am I really?
No.
Come on now.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
Listen, if you bought a house, let's say, if you bought a house, Rob, you got to, they said, we're going to sell you this house, nice house, we're going to give it to you for a good price. You looked at that house, you said, oh, that house worth double that. How much you want for it? Oh, it's worth double that. You really think about that house? Oh, yeah. Oh, that's going to be my house. Now, and the seller said, well, Robert, I got one stipulation. I'm going to sell you this house cheap. You can get it cheap. But now, all I want, I just want to keep one room.
Wow. Okay.
And you said, wait a minute. I'm going to buy a house. It's going to be my house. But you want to keep one room? If you keep one room, it's not my house. Y'all hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you keep one, if I can't have a whole, oh, I wish I had a witness. If I don't have a whole house, it's not my house. So somebody said, yes, I'm his. But I'm going to tell you, if he don't have your whole, if he don't have a whole you. See, somebody want to give, we don't want to give God the whole house. There's some room we want to keep to ourselves. If you're keeping a room to yourself and you say, God, I handle this right here. You can't have this here, God. Then you are not his and you are not holy. I wish I had. I know I'm going to have too much help. Woo. Nobody want to have somebody live in one room.
That's right.
It ain't your house.
That's right.
That's like rent.
Yes, sir.
Unless you're going to rent the room out. But then it's still your house because you got rules over it.
Right.
But we want to say, God, I'm yours. But I want to keep my financial rule. But I don't want to give what you say give.
Right. All
right. Oh, Lord. All right. The Bible says, and I'm not just saying this because, you know, I'm trying to get a bigger collection because we good. God is good to us. But the Bible says the tenth is holy.
Right.
Y'all hear that? The Bible says the tenth is holy to the law.
Right.
God said, hey, holiness means it belongs to God. He said, the tenth, that belongs to me. Really, all of it belongs to me, but that tenth especially belongs to the temple.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
There were tools and utensils, cups, candlesticks. The shovel that the priest used to get the ashes off under the altar. All those things, the Bible said, are holy unto the Lord. Now, none of those things do right or wrong. See, most of the time we think about holiness as for right and wrong.
Yes.
But the shovel didn't do right or wrong.
Right. Yeah,
the utensil didn't do right or wrong.
Okay.
Amen. The tithe don't do right or wrong. You might do right or wrong with it. But the tithe itself is an inanimate object. But it, we call it holy because it's his. It right. The utensil was his.
Okay.
The shovel was his. Anything that belonged to the Lord in the Bible recalls it kabosh holy because it was his. All his. So that's why I'm asking you. If you say, yeah, Pastor, I'm holy, I'm his. But there's an area in your life that you refuse to give to him.
My Lord.
You're not his. You're not holy. It won't be perfect. But it ought to be something producing holiness in your life.
Yeah.
Listen. If there's somebody in your life and you can't forgive that person, and you say, I'm here, but you can't forgive, then you're not his all the way. He needs to own that. If you've been trying to, you got something against somebody. Listen, if you got something against somebody, and rather than doing what the scripture says, what the Bible, what the word of God teaches, overcoming evil with good, you're trying to get evil.
Okay.
You're trying to get even. You know, we have different ways of getting even. It's not always open. We're trying to hurt folk different ways. We're trying to hurt folk by not speaking to them. We're trying to hurt folk by, procrastinating. And treating everybody better than you treat them in their faith.
Yeah.
And God is saying, hey,
that's not holy.
Because
yeah.
Right. When I have your attitude, listen here. See, because we used to think holiness was just your action. But holiness is not just your action, it's also your attitude.
Yes, sir.
He wants to say, I want your attitude, because you can have right action with the wrong attitude.
Yes, sir.
You can come here Sunday morning and sing in the choir all so well.
Yes.
But you can't stand the person you're singing next to.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You got the right action, but you got the wrong attitude.
Yes, sir.
And God says, holiness means, not only do you have to have the right action doing stuff for me, but you got to have the right attitude toward others.
Yeah.
It's action, attitude, but not only that, it's mind, it's heart, and it's will.
Yes,
he said, you are separate. You're separate. Listen, those verses that you have paper coming from the message, I said, I want something that can read easy on a couple of these verses. So I went find it and copied it all for you. Something back in the old days, and sometimes I still do this, I could be studying at the seminary library, or you see an article in a paper or an article on the I'll be in the library sometimes studying, and I'll be reading articles. I said, that was a good article. I'm going to need that for a class. I'm going to need that for a sermon. So I'm going to make a copy of it. Or even if something you own, you cut it out even. You cut it out. And that's what it means to be holy. Sometimes God says, I want to use that, so I'm going to cut it out. I got a purpose for that. See, I had a lot of versions to choose from. But I said, I think I'm going to use the message. Because I think that'll help me get my point over. So I elected the message to use to purposely get my point over. I'm saying, you, my brother and sister, God chose you cut you out, made a copy of you. Because he said, I want to use you, Robert.
Okay.
I want to use you. I want to use you, Carter. So now, I already got in mind what I want to use you for.
Yeah.
So I'm going to cut. I'm going to set I'm going to set you apart.
Okay.
I got a whole lot of files at home. Probably got too many. Got them everywhere. Because it's something I said, I'm going to use that one day. And I just put it in the drawer, file it away. I'm going to have to use it one day.
Okay.
But and that's what God said. I know they may not be perfect right now. But listen, I'm going to cut them out, the word. Because that's what the church means. Ecclesia means he sets you apart. Takes you out of the world to be used for himself.
Yes.
You're his.
Yes.
You're here for his use. Yes. That's what it means to be holy. I'm here for him to use me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen.
But he can't use me if I'm got sections
that
I won't let him have.
Yeah.
Because if you're a seven-room house, you say you're a seven-room house. You say, God, you can have six rooms to use. And God said, okay, I'm going to have these six rooms to use. And God began to, hey, do things and change people's lives in those six rooms.
Yes.
But one day, that seven room that you won't let them have, those lives that are changed get a peek in that seven room. And they see something in that seven room.
It messes up the whole world. Come on.
Then it hurts them.
Yeah.
And it kills the impact of the other six rooms.
Yeah.
Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
That's why he wants every room in your house.
That's good.
It starts out in your message. Says, what's it? Let up your sleeves.
Yeah. Roll up your sleeves.
Roll up your sleeves.
Yeah.
Now, in the King James, it says, I think they gird up your loins or get ready.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the Hebrew language. Because back in there, that's really where that first word comes from. I don't know the exact Greek. But it talks about, I know in the Old Testament, it talks, gird up your loins.
Uh-huh.
That means, because you know in the Old Testament, they had the robes on.
Uh-huh.
You couldn't do no work with them robes on, tripping all on your robes. So he said, now, when you really get ready to go out there and work with the animals and get ready to do the work, you got to take that robe and put it in that belt, that's what they call the girdle, and you put that robe up, then you can work.
Yeah.
Amen. You can't be no shepherd and sheep running everywhere. You tripping over your robe and trying to catch it. No, you're ready to go to work. You got to gird up your line. So when he said, roll up your sleeves, that's the new way of saying it. In our day, you getting ready to go to work. But he said, the sleeve that you're talking about is the sleeve of your mind. You got to get your mind ready to go to work.
Yes, sir.
Because he not only want your heart and your will, but God wants your mind.
Yeah.
You need your mind transformed.
Ooh-wee.
Romans 12, to be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. 12 and 2, be you transformed. You got to get your mind. You got to get in the Word of God. Because the Word of God will begin to transform your mind, that you have to begin to have the same mind and think the way God thinks.
Yeah.
If you never open your Bible, you'll never be able to think like God thinks. He wants to renew your mind where you get to thinking right. Because the enemy, you know, he won't get you ready for the fight. Because the enemy is going to give you a whole lot of false information.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And if your mind ain't girded up, and don't forget what you read.
Amen.
Listen, a few years ago, I had to have a thyroidectomy, and I had to find a thyroid doctor, and I didn't want any doctor. So I went, I had to do research, find out which one was best. And so I always go to the super doc list. They got a super doctor. These doctors, you know, they got like the, will be the best in their field, really recommend it. So I look on super doctor and find my doctor and say, okay, I'm going to try. Then as I tried out, you know, other people in the hospice, oh, yeah, she's a good doctor. You know, they just volunteer there when you talk about it. Oh, yeah, she's good. I'm saying, she's great. Oh, you're lucky to have her. I wasn't one lucky. I was more blessed than lucky. But it's how good you were. Now, when it came time for the thyroidectomy, And I thought about having to be put to sleep, and I'm a controlled person. I like to be in control. You can't be controlled when you sleep. I said, well, now, this is a little different. But you know what happened? And this is what you got to be careful of. Sometimes you can know what the word of God said, know what God said, but you'll forget what God said when the emotions rise.
That's real.
Y'all hear me?
Yeah.
That's why you got to know God's word, because if you don't know God's word, if you haven't spent time in God's word, when the emotions of fear and other emotions rise, you'll forget what the word of God done said. So when I went in that morning, I had to have my earphones on so I could listen to what the word of God was saying and how good God was and how good, powerful God was. So I knew, hey, when I fall, I'm all right. I'm out of control. But I know who's in control when I'm out of control. And that's what you got to do in life. You got to be in the word of God. You can't let your emotions rule you. You got to be ruled by the word of God. That's when you're ready to go to war.
That's right.
Called when times get hard, you got job situations, and you got health situations, and you got children situations, and you got marital and financial situations. You're gonna start thinking about the emotion.
Right.
Are gonna take over.
Yes.
And if you're not in the word of God, if your mind hasn't been transformed by the word of God, you're going to make the wrong decision.
Yes,
you're going to make a decision based upon fear, based upon light, based upon things that doubt. But you won't make them based upon how great your God is. Y'all hear me?
That's real.
So let God have your mind. That's why you got to know how great he is. Amen. If you're going through a situation, don't just listen to all that, I know it's if you're married or something. Oh, you're in a day relationship, you want to listen to all the romantic stuff. That's okay. But when you're going through some trouble, you need to cut that off and listen to something about God. Because you need God to show up. Amen? Amen. You need God to show up for you. Amen. So you got to start putting even in the song you listen to and in the movies and stuff you watch, you got to have stuff that's going to make your faith strong and get you ready for and help you deal with what you're going through. Get your mind ready. That's what he said first. See, I want your mind to get your mind ready.
Get it in here.
But not only that, once you get your mind, number one, don't let, one more thing, don't let the world tell you about the Bible.
Know it for yourself. Come on.
Because the world will say the Bible ain't true, old folky, ancient, don't work. Don't let the world interpret the Bible for you. Let the Bible interpret the world.
Amen.
Let the Bible tell you about the world, not the world tell you about the Bible.
Right.
But the world have you believing all kinds of stuff. You got to believe what the Bible says. Because the Bible is going to tell you what's right and wrong. And the Bible is going to tell you what's right and wrong. The world going to say, oh, it's okay. If it feel good, do it. But it might feel good for now. Sometimes they feel good immediately. But then in the long term.
Yeah.
You get, amen. Yeah. You get a happy meal now. I don't wish you had a witness in here. You get the little happy meal now.
Yeah.
But you better be careful, because when that happy meal digested,
you
have all kinds of trouble.
Right.
Amen. If we just settle for the happy, because it smell good and it look good. Oh, look at it. Oh, look at the meat on it. It's like it's real juicy. And you see, I didn't want to get that happy meal in them fries.
Yeah.
You get that happy meal.
Yeah.
Amen. Happy meal. You won't be happy too long. Happy meal don't last long. Get your holy meal.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me get on with this sermon. I'm taking too long. Listen. Roll up your sleeves. Put your mind in gear. Be totally ready. Because God got a gift for you coming when he comes back. Listen. Don't be lazy. Y'all see that? Everybody looking at you. Don't be lazy. Slip back into old grooves of evil. Because you know you got a default sin.
Yeah.
You know you got the faucet, and sometimes when you get when your money getting low, and you're out of money, but you got a whole lot of money left, you remember how good you used to be shooting dimes. Oh, you know, I used to be able to shoot them dimes.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. How good you were on the poker team. Yeah. You know, I'm running a little shout, but if I go find me some dimes, shoot me some dimes, play me some poker, amen, I can make me a little money.
Yeah, that's right.
You done went back to your...
$40.
Oh, I wish I had a witness. I wish I had a witness in here. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You know how it is. You know how it is when you used to have, when you used to get in trouble, you used to be under pressure, and you used to be stressed out. If you can just get with the right person in the right music,
$40.
I wish I had a witness. Y'all don't want to tell. If I can get the right person, the right music, I can relieve some of this stress. If I can get the right drink or the right smoke, I wish I had a witness. I can really sit down. They said, now, hey, wait a minute. Don't go back there. Don't you? You get your mind ready to follow God. Don't go back to that stuff. Don't go back to that default setting. Every time, that's like, how they say it? A dog returning to his vomit. Don't go back to that. God, that he chose you. Christ bled for you and died for you because he want to use you. He wants you to be his. He chose you to be his and to be holy. Don't go back and settle for your default sin. Choose to be holy. Amen. Let the word of God be the guide for every area of your life. Because you've been bought with a price. You've been bought with a price. I think he talks about that in, I think it's 1 Corinthians. We're talking about, don't be doing the fornication thing. Because you join yourself to a prostitute. He said, no, that ain't you. Because you're not yourself. You don't belong to you.
Right.
You belong to God. If we can just believe it, we can just get that in our mind. I don't belong. Everything I do is by God's use. I don't belong to me. I've been bought with a price.
Yes, sir.
And when God brought me with a price, he bought the whole house.
Right. Everything.
He bought the whole house all day long. He didn't buy just the daytime. He bought the nighttime.
Right.
He didn't buy Monday through Thursday. He bought Friday, Saturday night too. Well, let me go on.
Man.
Don't slip back into those old rules of evil. Doing just what you feel like doing. Y'all hear that? Don't do what you feel like doing. I don't feel like going to church. Don't do what you feel like doing. Then said, you don't. Back then, when you used to do that, you shoot dice, card, drink, smoke. You didn't know no better. But now, you ought to. Now that you know better, you ought to do better. Give him your mind. Give him your will. Give God your whole will. Give him your all. Every area of your life, it belongs to God. Every area belongs to him. That's the key point. You're his. Every area belongs to him. He wants your mind, but he all wants your will too.
Right.
He makes you want you to, amen. He don't want you just think good thoughts. He wants you to do some right things in your life. Give God your will. When you're trying to make a choice, go to what did the Bible say about it? We try to make charge without the Bible. Don't try to make charge without the Bible. See what the Bible say.
Right.
I always mess up just trying to do it without it. I know what the Bible say. But sometimes, we think we can get by the Bible. Woo! I wish I had a witness. Sometimes we know what the Bible say. I might be able to slide by the Bible this time. The Bible says stay out of debt, and you see something you just won't.
Come on now.
Yeah. I might be just lying. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Listen to what the Bible says. It's hard. Because emotions. Because I always say like it's a fight between your emotions and what God said to me. God will,
yeah.
God will every rule to be healed. Every decision. You say, okay, what does the Bible say about this? How to treat people. Should I forgive here? What should I do? What does the Bible say about every aspect of your life? That's why you got to have your mind right. Then you get your will right. What happens to the mind? But now, and then it goes on to talk about not only the mind has to be right and the will right, but then you got to get your emotion right. How do you get your emotion right? Because we're dishonest. We're dishonest to a point. But we'll say, you know, I didn't want to do it, but I did it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I really didn't want to do that, but I did it. It's not true. We do what we want to do. we try to fool God. God, you know I really didn't want to do that.
I really didn't want to cut my
ass. But we always do what we want. We always do what we want to do. But when we go to God, God, I'm sorry, I didn't mean, yeah, we wanted to do it. You know why we do it? Because you had a charge to me. You always do what you want to do most.
Right, right.
As a believer, the thing we all want to do most is please God.
Amen.
But that's not always true. Sometimes we want to do something else more than pleasing God. You want to do more than something, please God? I'd have some thoughts this week. As I was looking at that election thing and all the stuff going on after, I had some thoughts that didn't please God. Yeah, but I can't even say them because I'm on the podcast. Amen. Amen. I said, hey, you know, they won't leave, but I'm going to let that alone. Amen. Because you know that's not God. I'm trying to be godly and respectful. But that's the right thing. So this is the key, y'all. This is the key. Getting your motives right. Because you know what makes a car go is the motor.
Right.
If a car don't have a motor, it can't go nowhere.
Right.
Motor is what pulls and pushes the car. Well, there's a word that sounds like motor, it has kind of the same root as motor, but it's called motive. It's your motive that push you into something or pull you away from something.
Okay.
Now, when you do wrong, it's because that was your greatest motivation. That was the thing that was pushing you.
Right.
It was pushing you more than what the Word of God says.
Mm.
We need godly motives. And one of the greatest motives, if you want to keep your motive right, keep the cross on your mind.
Amen.
Because every time I think about what Jesus done for me, let me give you this story. I might go ahead and close after this, depending on how the Spirit leads me. You remember Abraham? God said, Abraham, I want you to offer your son.
Right.
Your only son. The one that you love. Why did God have to say the one that he loved?
Yeah.
I want you to offer your only son, the one I want you to take him and offer him out on the mountain, Moriah. I want you to offer him a sacrifice. Go kill your son and offer him sacrifice to me. I said, wow, God, that's a... Now, when we think about that on human, wow, God, that's a little rough. He ain't got but one son. And you already told him that you were going to bless him through that son. Now you say you want to sacrifice him? But they're not like Abraham. Abraham said, well, God, your ways are higher than my ways. You know more than I know. I don't understand this. But I'm motivated to obey you. He took his son Isaac up on the mountain. And he had raised the knife to slay him. And as the night, the angels called him. And God said, don't do the boy no harm. There's a ram in the bushes. You see that kind of, oh, see, we ought to have that same kind of obedience to God. Most of us would say, all right, God, I'll obey you everywhere, but Isaac room, you can't have. We all got an Isaac.
Yeah.
And we'll give God every room but Isaac's room.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You can have, I'll do whatever you say in this area, but my only son whom I love, Isaac, you want me to offer him for a sacrifice? But Abraham said, yeah, even Isaac's room is yours too. And he raised the knife because, no, don't do it no harm. I got a ram in the bush. And Isaac was spared, and God fulfilled his promise. Mm-hmm. And Abraham, I think Abraham already knew that. Because Abraham had already told seven men and the boy are going to be back. He didn't know how God was going to do it. See, sometimes you just take God at his word. Because God said he's going to bless me through Isaac. He said, I don't know how I ain't going to do it. He's telling me to sacrifice the boy. I can't figure out how God works. But I'm just going to do what God says to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to give my Isaac room. And he raised it and said, no, let Isaac go. I got a ram in the bush. Now, this is the thing. That scene happens again. But this time, it's not Isaac.
Come on now.
This time, it's God's son.
Yeah, yeah.
This time, it's Jesus, our Savior. And our Lord. And he's been crucified on the cross. God, the Father said, let Isaac alone. But now his own son is on the cross, and God allows his own son to be crucified and to shed his precious blood for me and for you. That's my motivation. Every time I think about what Jesus gave up for me, why, God? I wasn't worth it. Why, God? Why would you do all this for me? You're the Son of God. Your blood is precious. You could have stayed in heaven and enjoyed the angels, but you cared enough for me.
Yeah, you thought I was
going to save. You just didn't die for me, but you suffered for me.
Yeah.
When they beat you, tore all the skin from your back, when they crying it was dawn and blood was streaming down. God, when they spit on you, made fun of you, marched up Calvary's cross, crucified you on Calvary, the most dreadful thing ever, had to invent a new word to describe the pain that was excruciating. And you are the God, or you're the Son of God, and you spilled your blood for me?
Yeah.
That had to be our motivation. That had to be our motivation. Little boy was at school. He had some new white sneakers on. Mother boys that were bullied, they were bullying him, making fun of him, and stepped on his white sneakers. Little boy, you know, he's not a... Not a, like a rough house. But when they stepped on his shoes, he began to fight back. Because he was so upset that they stepped on his white shoe. Went to the principal office. And they asked him, say, son, you ain't never been in trouble. We've never seen you in a fight before. What so upset you? Why did you go off when they stepped on your white shoe? Sir? Understand, we don't have a lot of money in our family. I've been wanting those white shoes for a long time. My mama never had enough money. But she said, because she didn't want me to feel bad about all the shoes the other kids were wearing, she worked two jobs. She saved every penny she could. It took her 2 or 3 months just to save up enough for those shoes. She bought them home. No, I saw her. She worked, she was tired, she had to come home. And cook for us and clean the house. But she said, I'm working And she worked until I got those new white shoes. When I think about all my mother did, it wasn't the shoes. But when it's that time, I thought about how my mother had sacrificed and how hard she had worked and all that she put in for those shoes. And I lost it. I lost it. My brothers and sisters, when we think about all that Jesus has done, how he sacrificed his life, all that he went through for us, our motor and our motivation should be to please him. He's not too much for me to live for myself. Now I want to be his. I want to be used by him. I want to please him.
Because
he should have left me where I was. The way I was living before he saved me and changed me, he should have left me where I was. Why would he go through all he went through for us? When I had the charge to make, I needed God to keep me near the cross.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
We said, Jesus, keep me near. But I need to be near the cross. I need to have a cross on my mind. And how it's severed on my mind. Because it was at the cross. Where I found sunlight and abandoned of my heart were rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight. And now I'm happy.
Yes, sir.
That's my motivation.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's my motivation. I don't come to church to get to heaven. I come to church because what he did to get me to heaven.
Right.
He already got me a ticket. And I come because of God. I can't pay you back. But if you'll give me your Holy Spirit, I want to be yours. Is there anybody here today?
My God.
I don't know if I didn't explain that. I did the best I could with it.
Yes, sir.
But I just need some people.
Yeah.
I need some people of God. That I'm gonna be his. I wanna be his. I want his spirit to be not just a resident, but the president of my life. Empowering. I wanna be his. I wanna start to make some right choices. Don't let me go back to what I used to be. If I was mean, I don't wanna be mean no more. If I was selfish, I don't wanna be selfish no more. I wanna be yours, Lord. I want to be yours totally. Totally yours. I want to give everything I got to you. Because I want you to use me. Sometimes using you don't. I want to tell you that sometimes God uses it don't turn out like you want it to turn out.
Come on now.
Jim Elliot. I don't know if y'all know Jim. Jim Elliot was a missionary. Went down to the Akea Indians trying to. They didn't have a language. He tried to learn a language and write a Bible for him and his three friends. Three companions, missionaries. They went down and they were praying for God's protection and praying for God to move with them. But the night after they had the prayer meeting, they were all killed.
Yeah.
Now, from the world's point of view, you said, well, Jim Elliot, seemed like there was a waste. They prayed to God and God didn't save them. But no, because their main objective in life were to be used. And sometimes when you're used, you may not make it through, but God uses you to bring somebody else through.
Right, right,
because
right,
his right. wife and the other wives right. went back to that same tribe, amen, that killed their husband and witnessed to that same tribe and a few years later and the whole tribe got saved. Because he motivated other people to go be missionaries. God will use your life. He may not use it like you want him. You may have to lose your life.
Yeah.
But even when you lose your life, it can be a blessing to somebody else.
Amen.
I know when this COVID thing was going on, I said, you know, tomorrow ain't promised to none of us. Tomorrow ain't promised to. It's a rough time when so many are dying from that in other ways. But I just made up in my mind when the pandemic started. I said, I'm not going to worry about it too much. I'm going to do the safety procedures. But I said, if it's my time, Lord, it's my time.
Yes.
But I said, the only thing I ask you, Lord, is if I'm in the hospital, wherever I am, just let me be used by you.
Yes.
Just let me talk to the person in my next bed and try to encourage them. Let me try to encourage my nurses and all the doctors that's working on me. If I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out giving you the glory.
Yeah.
And letting everybody know how valuable you are to me and how great you are to me. Because I just want to be used by you any way I can. Make up your mind this morning. I'm giving God my whole, and I want to be used by Him. You know what happens when a whole church does that? Say, we want God to use us. God can do some awesome things through that church. God, I'm yours. I'm yours. If you here listen to the podcast, Lane, members, and our friends and neighbors, thank you so much. You said at the beginning of the message, thank you so much for listening in. Listen, today's your day. You're not listening to this by mistake. Right. You don't know Christ. It's time to say, hey, I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm yours, God. I'm yours. You calling me to holiness. I want you to have my whole life. I want you to have my mind, my heart, my will, my attitudes, my action. I want to be completely sold out. Just yours. All over yours. Everything about you. If you're here in a parking lot, make the same decision today. We're not going to go back. We're not going to go back to the stuff we used to do. Not God, because he done changed it. He done, don't go back to that default setting. Whatever it is, our God is powerful enough to bring you into the new and keep you from going back to the old. Oh, I just want to pray. Listen, stand where you are. Just stand where you are. And if you're here today, even at home, you may want to do this just to get somebody around, make your. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do it if you don't want to do it. Everybody going to close your eyes. But if you want, God is looking at us. If you say, God, I want you to have my whole life. I want to give you my whole life. I want to give you my mind. I want to give you my heart. I want to give you my will, my attitude, my action. I don't want no more rooms. I don't want to keep no rooms from you, no areas of my life from you. I want to bring every area in obedience unto the word of God. God, I want to make that decision this morning. If you want to make the decision, while all of us got our eyes closed, raise your hand and say, God, hear my hand. You see my hand, God? You see my hand? I want to do that, God. Now I need your power. I need your Holy Spirit in me as I surrender everything to you. I need your power in me, God, because I don't want to leave this place the same. I want to be no more devoted, more committed, more consecrated. I want to be used by you like never before. I want to be used by you like never before. Take me to a whole new level, you. Thank you, God. I know you're going to do it. That's what we're praying for those in the audience and those who are here. You let your hands down. Gabby's going to give us a selection. And as she gives a selection, turn it over in your heart. Turn it over in your heart.
back. Give it all to him. Give a job to him. Give the family to him. Give the finances to him. Give him everything.
Amen.
Give him every aspect of your life. See, God, it's yours. It's yours. It's yours. The business is yours. It's yours. It's not mine. It's yours. It's all yours. Put it in your head. You do way more with it than I can do. Just give it. Give it. Give the children to him. Give them the grandchildren. Give them to him. Give it to him. Hallelujah, God. It's yours. Just lead us and guide us how to use our lives like never before today. Those that have made that commitment. We know we always make commitments, and God, we know how we are. There's always the default setting. That's why we need your Holy Spirit. That's why we're going to need to stay in the Word and stay in prayer and in community to follow through. God, we just don't want to go back. We just don't want to go back. We know what's back there. We want to look forward so that when you come to get us, we can hear you say, well done.
Yeah, yeah.
God, thank you for forgiving us. Give us another chance. We know we're going to need it again. God, we just want to live as you empower us day by day to be used by you. Thank you so much. Thank all of you that are listening. About ready to let you go. We do have a couple of quick announcements here. Don't forget about the Warren Hawkins Food Drive. It ends Friday. You can give online. One way you can give, you go online, where's the app or the website. When you see where it says general service, whatever that often says, general use. You can scroll down and it says Hawkins, Warren Hawkins Food Drive, and you can just put your money under that. Still going to the church, but at least the church will know how much we gave for that particular purpose. If you need somebody to come by and get it, amen, just call the church, or you can call my cell, 903-915-0865, and we see if we can get somebody to come by and get it from you. And also, we are up here now at the church, so if you want to quickly come by and give something before we leave, you can do that too. So those are some ways you can give. And they're not taking cans this year because of the pandemic. So we ask everybody to just give the cash. Amen. For every, I think every dollar you give, you get 2.5 pounds of food. So if you give $10, that's 25 pounds. And just do it like that. All right, so keep that on your mind. I also have one more thing I want to read from the Robinson family. The Robinson family is asking for prayer for Linda, who will be having eye surgery on Monday. Amen. So we pray for Linda and the eye surgery to go well. Amen. That she can see clearly what God is doing in this great world of his. So we put it in your hands, and as she goes in, help us to remember what the Word of God and Scripture says about the greatness of her God, and give her comfort through that. Turner's also have a procedure, so they'll be in prayer for him this week. Amen. He told me about several things he's going to get done, something he's going to get shot this week, some other stuff. But let's continue to pray for him. Amen. As he has tried to heal up from his a little fall that he had off the ladder a few weeks ago. All right. All right, Roy, we also want to pray for the family. Roy Wiz, who died, he works with Brother Favors. So let's pray for him, Roy Wiz. Amen. So thank y'all. All this been in prayer. So much is happening in the world. Of course, just be in prayer for our country. Amen. Our divided country. Somehow bring it, come together. It's going to take a God to do that. It's going to take a God, but our God can, and our God is able. Also, we want to just share with you, I was intending to share this last week on, but Pastor Gene Mosby. Now, if you want to know who Pastor Gene Mosby is, you've seen him here before, because when we did our entrance ceremony, he preached for us that Monday after and the Tuesday after that. And like a little revival time, y'all remember what I'm talking about, Pastor Moses? Pastor Moses died a couple of weeks back. Amen. After getting out of the hospital for him. His funeral last week. I was intending to tell y'all just be praying for his family. So we remember when he was down there, how he ministered to us. And he was a really great pastor. And he just left a great legacy in that church and in those members. So let's be praying for that church and his family. All right, I think I've covered most everybody. I hope I've left anybody out. Let's remember those things. Thank you again on the podcast. If you're on the podcast and you need help knowing how to become a follower of Christ, you made a decision today. You just need somebody to help you with it or to give you some guidance. Just give us a call. You can either contact us online, on the app, on the website, or you can just call us at 903-915-0865. So thank you all today. Let's pray for one another. Now unto him that's able to present us for our Father strong without fault. May the love of God our Father, grace of Jesus Christ our Lord, speaking in of the Holy Spirit our Comforter, rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let us all say together three times, amen, amen, and amen. Enjoy your day. Enjoy and have a great Lord's Day.
Make it our way through again.
We just started a little late, but he got the majority of it.